Okay, we're recording.
Can we go ahead and call the March 8th Occupational Therapy Examiners meeting to order at 1:32? We'll start off with roll call. Quentin McAllister, present.
Dana Hutchins, present.
Barbara Paulson, present.
Donnie Hosenthal, present.
Charlene Marbs, present.
Item 3, declaration of conflicts of interest. Do we have any conflicts?
I have one for Ramona Soto.
Dr. Hosenfeld, what item number is that?
B272. Sorry. And item 4, approval of last month's meeting minutes, both executive session and regular session. Do we have a motion to approve those minutes?
Mr. Chair, the February meeting minutes are not prepared.
Okay.
So they'll be presented at the April board meeting.
Okay, my apologies. So we're going to move on to item 5, future board needs. I had mentioned to Karen earlier that the June 14th date doesn't work for me.
Okay, so so we need to... You would like to change the meeting date for June?
To the 7th, if possible. And I know that July is not here, but I probably won't be available for July at all.
Could you speak into the microphone?
Yeah, please? Sorry. I probably won't be available for July at all.
Okay. Okay, so if we're going to move the June meeting... would everyone else or everyone be available on June 7th?
I might not be. I don't know. The 14th would work for me, but I don't know about the 7th.
I'm not 100% sure of the 7th either.
Either works for me.
Okay.
The 7th actually works better for me.
Okay, and you're available on the 7th?
Yes.
Okay. So that would be 3 and 2 questionable. Would you know better next month?
Yes.
Okay. And how about you, Charlene?
Possibly. Okay.
Ms. Wiper, wouldn't we still have a quorum, though, if just one was missing? To not have to change it? If it wasn't a conflict?
We would still have a quorum with 3 people.
I was just saying, because if it looks like 2 is, you know, like 2 are up in the air, I just didn't know if it's better to still just have it. I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. And then they're weighing the conflict.
I might have a conflict. I'm not just for sure on the 14th, but I know I don't on the 7th.
Okay.
I just heard Quinn say,
yeah, I didn't say anything because he was already asking to move it.
And then, Ms. Kahn, are you available on the 7th of June?
Yes.
Okay.
Sometimes it's just hard with the rooms.
Okay, and Mr. McAllister, I heard you mention July, but that's
correct.
Not on the,
that's not
list yet, so we'll talk about that next month.
Yeah. Moving on to item 6, initial application 6A. I'll make a motion to approve the 33 initial applications. Do I have a second?
I second.
Oh. Take it away.
All right.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries 5-0. And then item 6B, renewals of 123 renewals. Do I have a motion to approve those 123 administrative complete renewals?
I'll second that motion.
You'll make the motion.
Oh, I'll make the motion. I make the motion that we accept the 123 renewal.
Do we have a second? I'll second that motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. You okay? And item 6, four license to inactive status. I'll make a motion to approve those. 4 license to inactive status. Do I have a second?
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries 5-0. And that brings us to item 7A. These are reviews for approval, board reviews for license approval. 7A, one, Vivian Avila, and that is not a Crown and Walter. Is there any discussion or motion for that license renewal? I'm sorry, initial application, excuse me.
I make a motion to approve our initial application.
Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries 5-0. 7A2, Joan Dumont, and that's the same situation. If there's no discussion, I'll go ahead and make a motion to approve that initial application. Do we have a second or discussion?
I will second that motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries 5-0. And 7A4, or I'm sorry, I'm skipping three there. Cesar Flores, it looks like an unspecified charge was dismissed. Are there any discussion or motion to approve that license?
I'll make a motion to approve the license of Cesar Flores.
Do we have a second?
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries 5-0. And last on item 7A4, and that's Richard, also a DUI. So if there's no discussion, I'll make a motion to approve that license. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries 5-0. 7B, renewal applications for our review. One, Baca Hida, and that is also a DUI. So do I have a motion or discussion for that license renewal?
I move that we accept the license renewal.
Approve. I'll second the motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries 5-0. And item 7B2, Ramona Soto. Dr. Hosenfeld is recusing himself from that item.
Do I need to
open up discussion or a motion for Ramona Soto?
I would make a motion to approve her application for her license.
Do we have any discussion or a second?
I second that motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries 4-0 with Dr. Osipil recusing himself. And that brings us down to item 7B3, Nathan Tanner. And we have not received any statement on that matter. So we don't know.
We have not, and I checked again.
Okay.
I personally would like to know what the status was before I made any judgments.
I agree.
Approvals.
Would you, there would be the option of approving pending receipt of that statement that he had not practiced, and if it comes back that he practiced, then you'd have to review it at the next meeting.
Mr. Chair. He expired on the 12th. I know you were wanting to know if he practiced it
at all,
but he expired February 12th. And we received his application on the 14th, February 14th. So it was 2 days that.
Wouldn't the best thing to be to do is to approve the license and open up a complaint to find out? Is that the?
Well,
I don't think you would need to open a complaint. You could, and you have done in the past. You've approved a license pending receipt of a certain document.
Okay.
So. I think that makes sense.
Yes.
And I'm just stating, Mr. Chair, because it's just 2 days. I'm not seeing that it was a paper copy, so he
right.
did apply online, because then we would have went by postmark, but it's just the 2 days. So I think it's fair to...
And he paid his reinstatement fee, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I like the idea of approving pending the...
Pending the statement.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. So
I'll make a motion to approve the license pending a receipt of confirmation of not practicing the time you didn't have a license.
Correct.
Or an active license, excuse me.
Agree.
Okay. Do you have a second?
I second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries 5-0. And brings us to 7B for Michael Wang, and there was a statement stating he did not practice. I'll make a motion to approve that license renewal, reinstatement, excuse me. Is there a second or any discussion?
I'll second that motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries 5-0. Item 8A1, I will ask to remove that item from the agenda.
I second the motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries 5-0. Thank you. You seconded that before I can even process. And we're down to item 8B1, Carol Lawton Kraus. I hope I pronounced that correctly. If you want to come on up, sounded like you wanted to make a statement.
Are you asking if I want to make a statement?
If I read the note correctly, I thought you did want to
speak. I think I said if you had questions, because okay. I wasn't sure how it would go, you know, hearing what you all have to say first. I think that's what I want to speak if after.
So it sounds like you had a rough time at Phoenix Sky Harbor, or Tucson. Sorry, Tucson.
I consider it a rough time.
Yeah.
So where are things right now?
I just sent to Ms. Weifer this morning the email that I received from my attorney that he had sent to the prosecutor, I think 2 days ago, saying clearly the video shows there was no assault. He also said there was no disturbance of the course of action for the second thing I was charged with. And, you know, you can see from the video, clearly as I can, hopefully, that, you know, there's nothing here, that I would apologize to this baggage handler for, you know, throwing this piece of paper up in the air.
So let me just clarify. Your sure. lawyer is saying there's no proof on her.
Yes, I have an email with me, and I sent it to Ms. Lightford this morning. His assessment of the video that was sent, saying you can clearly see that this was not an act of me hitting somebody. It was me throwing a tiny piece of paper in the air, you know, being angry of, you know, prior things leading up to it, but no intentional assault, no nothing like that. And disrupting the order of business that day is what he was saying.
Okay. So that's good to know, because it referred to this DVD through pages, but then I never saw what came of it, so that's great.
I have the DVD, and I know I was told not to send it, but I could not send it. It's an airport security. I have the DVD. It could be played by whoever would like to see it, but I took a video of it because that was the only way I could send it.
Okay.
And not able to take photos at each instance either.
So this is an active case right now? And
it's still active. It's been pending since January. The continued hearing twice now is going to take place next Friday.
Okay. I think I, for one, would be happy to wait to do anything with this until the criminal courts have ruled on it. That way it might make our jobs a lot easier.
I agree. So I'd like to wait.
We could table this until,
I think it'll be good to wait for
decided.
The ruling.
So if they dismiss it, I mean, I would be inclined to dismiss the, you know, or to take no action, I guess, is the proper term here. So
what does that mean that you would like me to do?
At this point, what I'm discussing to the other board members is that we should table this. Table this item until the courts decide what they're going to do in Pima. And then once we have that, you would provide us with that information. I'm instructing staff to request that upon completion of the court case. And then we can get that information and discuss the item further at that point in time.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll make a motion to table this item until we get the results of the criminal piece in Pima County.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries 5-0.
Thank you for coming here.
Thank you.
Okay, so then if you could, you know, keep me updated on what's happening.
Yeah, absolutely.
Then we'll put you on the agenda when it's finalized.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Who seconded that one?
I did.
Okay. Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Thank you. You don't want to sit here through all this other boring stuff, do you? All right. Item C, Richard Stout, I believe he's present. Come on up. And what were we expecting?
We were expecting the complainant on the phone.
Okay. And I didn't hear any changes in the thing to indicate that somebody was on online, correct? Did anybody else?
I didn't hear.
Maybe ask. Is there anyone on the phone who wishes to speak? No one responded.
I just want to make sure. Okay, I did send her call-in instructions on Tuesday, so.
And this was the case where you were addressing lateral hip condylitis, and you were using some girdle techniques and
some manual techniques, yes.
Correct.
And like I said, I submitted a written response. First, I wanted to say thank you for rescheduling the appointment, because I wasn't able to attend the initial, since I was attending a course. So,
can you please say your name?
Oh, sure. This is Richard Stout from Prescott, Arizona. And I guess my question, I'm not sure what the format is for this. So whatever guidance you guys have to offer, if you have any questions, whether regarding the treatment technique, the approach, what was happening in the session.
Would you just kind of recount what happened for us, please?
And actually, if you could move the microphone a little bit closer,
sure.
So we make sure we get it on the recording.
Okay.
Thank you.
It was a second session that I seen this individual. I was not the evaluated therapist. The evaluating therapist was Vicky Nauhaus, which she's the one that initiated the treatment. The patient came in. It was an open clinic, just like this, and we had a horseshoe type of situation with our patients. And usually what happens is the patient will sit on one side, and being a hand clinic, we would sit on the other. Things, her symptomology wasn't seemed to be resolving, so we started addressing manual techniques that were could be addressing the trigger points therapy. And since I specialize in myofascial release, I've treated people in the past that when you're working with someone, you acknowledge the pain, but look elsewhere for the cause. I sat next to her because, again, with the width of the table, it's not very good ergonomically for the therapist nor the patient. So I sat beside her. I've done this many times. I did it last time before, too.
Patient name redacted.
Yes, it is.
Okay, thank you.
And so she was having discomfort on the right side, and so I sat up beside her and asked her if it was okay with what we were going to do. And so as part of the technique, we were addressing latissimus dorsi, the serratus interior, which is working near the axilla, near the lateral side. And also, as we're working, I had her arm out to allow some passive distraction. And at all times, I asked her, are you okay with where my hands are? And there was no complaint about moving them. Then as we were working, just because we were working on loosening up the glenohumeral joint, So we get more scapular glide. She was very tight there. She was very compliant. She had been compliant with the exercises. And also working there after we had done work at the table, we wanted to go ahead and get some movement for the lateral elongation of the trunk, which was involving the latissimus. I had facilitated with a ball rolling technique, vertical ball rolling. And as we were working there, she said that her back was tight. And so what we did was I went ahead and placed my hand to go ahead and facilitate a stretch for latissimus on her iliac crest, which was, again, above the buttocks, but it was on the iliac crest. And I mentioned to her, I said, have you ever thought about getting a massage for your back? Because it's like, it's pretty tight. I said, we don't do massage here. We do have work with backs and shoulders and whatnot, but I just recommended a massage possibly in the community. So, again, very compliant. She did her exercises. I really feel like she's sincere about her recovery. She followed through with what we asked her to do, and it looks like, and again, she was stating that it did, the pain had reduced in intensity and felt like, and we noticed that there was an increase in shoulder flexion as well as a reduction in the elbow pain. So, and that's just what I'm saying, what happened with the session. So, did not hear of any complaints, did not hear of a concern. And that's all I had direct.
Did you at any point tell her that you specialize in back massages?
I told her we work with backs, but we do not do massage. I mean,
okay.
I do not, my myofascial release is not a massage. It is a therapeutic manual therapy, which is reimbursed as an occupational therapist. Correct.
Thank you.
You would.
Can you clarify one thing for me? This was your second session with this dog. In the first session, did you also sit on the side of the table, or were you across? Do you remember?
I'm not sure if I was beside her or not.
Okay.
Like I said, I didn't look at that documentation. It was just talking about the last session she was in. So, but that is a very common position we go into, is because we needed to access areas, and she was not the only one that we work in that aspect in order to go ahead and allow, because we're working with a fascial system that is continuous throughout the body, and in order for us not to go ahead and put the patient at risk nor the therapist at risk with the ergonomics, that's the position we go into.
I worked in hand therapy, and I've been on both sides of the table in the situation myself, so makes sense to me.
The patient's name was redacted from this recording.
Would you like to share with us what happened?
Go over the statement that I made last summer?
If you don't mind, I believe actually, I don't know if you were on the board.
I wasn't.
I don't think you were. We have a couple. No, you were on the board. We have a new board member, so it would help her out to, if you don't mind.
Okay. No, I have the statement in front of me. What had happened, as I had been to several physical therapy sessions 4 months prior to this, because the injury happened in September of 2017, and I had seen three different therapists before I had seen Richard Stout at the Arizona Hand Therapy. And the other three therapies, or the other three therapists that I've seen, were all pretty similar, and that they sat across from me, they did similar massage therapy on my arm, up to just past my elbow. They did some therapy where they put the tense machine on my elbow and just below it. I had some tape therapy done, and that was all below my elbow too, where they put the like the tape that's supposed to help stretch out your tendons there.
The little and, diamond pattern.
Yes, yes. And I had the therapist I had seen before. It was all pretty similar stretches they gave me to do. And then the reason Dr. Mellinger referred me to an occupational therapist is because I can't remember the technique he wanted, but he wanted something more. I can't remember the technique, but he wanted something more centered on my elbow and my wrist. And that's when I went to Arizona Hand Therapy. And the first person I had seen there was Victoria. And I seen her, and then she did some massage therapy, some icing. She had sat across the room from me the whole time. She recommended some at-home exercises to do. And then the next session was with Richard Stout, and it was different from any other sessions I had. What made me feel uncomfortable is what was happening wasn't being explained to me as in, we're going to do this because this is, you know, connected. It wasn't described to me at all. So it wasn't explained to me, so it made me very uncomfortable as far as, okay, well, why are you touching this area? What does this have to do with my elbow?
Did you ever let him know that you weren't comfortable with what was taking place?
No, to be quite honest, I was kind of taken back by the situation. And kind of like, when I left there, in fact, after I did the sit down and he did the massage therapy, I stood up and did the exercise where you put your hands on the wall. And I had done this exercise at all the other therapists I'd been to, so I knew this one. And where you slide your arms up and you're stretching. And apparently the way I was standing made it look like I had back issues or something. Like I was uncomfortable or the way I was stretching. And he had mentioned that he put his hand on the small of my back and asked if I had back issues and if I had had any massage therapy done there. And I had said no. And then he had said he also specializes, in addition to the hand therapy, he does back massage therapy also. And then at that point, I was super uncomfortable, and I said, after those exercises were done on the wall, I said, you know what, I have another appointment I have to make it to, so I left. And that was the end. And I've actually recently had surgery about 3 months ago on that elbow, and so I continued with therapy at the hospital up here in Prescott Valley, Yellowknife Regional, with an occupational therapist. And not one time did she sat across the table every session I went to after the surgery I had on my right elbow. And she was very, very thorough about explaining exactly what she was doing and explaining how lymph nodes in your armpit can, like, massaging those at home and how that helps heal your elbow. And she was very thorough about explaining exactly what everything, how it connected. And that is one thing I didn't got when I went to see him. Nothing was really explained to me of why you're touching here or I'm touching this area because. That's about pretty much what my statement said.
I do have a quick question for you. Since you had attended therapy before, did you at any point ask him to explain why he was touching a particular area or explain more to you what he was doing since he was a newer therapist to you?
No, I hadn't. To be honest, I thought he was, I trusted that he was doing what he was supposed to do, but it still made me come off very uncomfortable feeling when I left.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So the therapist you saw after your surgery that was talking about the glands in your armpit region, do you feel like that's in line with some of the things that he was doing, some of the areas that he was addressing?
Hers was more up towards the armpit, between like your elbow and your armpit, not further down than that though.
I'm sorry, do you mean shoulder? Shoulder and armpit?
Yes.
Okay.
And then not further below that. And she had recommended I at home to massage under my armpit.
From my experience, what Mr. Stout, is that pronouncing that correctly?
Stout.
From what Mr. Stout's describing, is very much in line with working on those muscles that do connect to that shoulder girdle, that do impact sometimes, I don't want to say lateral condylitis, but a connection that would resemble that type of condition. So.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any other questions or for the patient?
I have no questions.
I have no questions.
For her.
Anything else for Mr. Stout?
Do you have anything further you want to say?
My focus, from what I understand, with this complaint was to give information that was directly involved with this particular moment, but there is also supportive information that I did not add to that regarding the communication process, which was not being made. Our receptionist tried to contact
patient name redacted
several times for appointments, and there was no response. I did not put that on there, but I'm just in support of the communication process, letting you know. And so there was no communication, and like I said, that was through the receptionist, and that was also for further future appointments, which were not, for some reason, not made. So, when this pattern was here and there was no communication through the receptionist, through the phone calls that were being made, we had the therapist, Vicky, like I said, she was the one that sort of said, well, you know, someone hasn't responded in this many sessions or this many trials. We're going to have to go ahead and discharge out. So then that was communicated to the case manager because she was under workman's comp. And then that's what, so try to communicate for whatever reason. And I'm not sure if I got the messages, but this is through our receptionist who was trying to make contact with her. So I didn't sense anything that was of a threat, nor did she express anything. So,
can you clarify on that communication? Are you talking previous to this February 2nd session?
No, this was after.
After,
this
okay.
After
okay.
The last session, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
You bet.
Absolutely. I have a motion to go into executive session. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
All in favor? Legal advice, I'm assuming. Is that correct?
Yes.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. 5-0, we'll go into executive session at 2:07. Since we have some mail, should we just go over to this?
Yes. We're going to leave the room for a few minutes to get legal advice, if you'd like to stay on the line. I'm getting feedback from one of the microphones.
We're returning to regular session at 2:30, and returning to discussion on the Richard Stout case. Do we want a minute to review the expert's information?
Yes, please.
So when we had originally left this case last year, we were requesting information from a certified hand therapist to kind of compare what we were talking about. One of the things he did bring up was addressing the shoulder girdle. I would believe that would be in line with looking at the brachial plexus as part of that pain causing lateral epicondylitis. So that kind of that fell in line with what Mr. Stout was discussing with his part of his treatment.
Can I ask my question? I wanted to ask you, so normally when you're doing, especially myofascial release, I mean, you are sometimes in a different area than what you normally are. Do you normally go into a little more detail when you're with the patient about exactly what's going on so that way that you're aware?
Yes, and then that's basically what I had done. I explained the purpose and the, I guess if you want to call it, the validity of why we're at a certain location. And exactly, we talked about a continuous tissue. I even use a piece of mesh. I did not have that at that point. But it gives you an idea of what happens inside the body. So I do explain, in fact, we also sort of give the idea of, you know, if you cook meat or whatever and you see the membrane that's on food, so it gives them a little bit of an idea of what fascia is and how it surrounds us. So I do explain it. And we also have, we also in the clinics, we keep trigger point maps, which I gave sent copies of the, again, the validity of what we're working. But it's because when you do that, it really helps increase or improve the chance of the person's acceptance of what's going on. Because like you said, if you're doing stuff without explaining, you're right, you might get some resistance. So especially if it's a very much of a sensation-based treatment. So when you're working on some location and they all of a sudden it reduces, or the pain pattern or whatnot, and it gives them more of an understanding of what's going on with that.
In your opinion, did something change between the first visit and the second visit?
I know, because I go for it. The point was, I also went on the other side to work. Because whenever working with the elbow, again, it's for me, it's hard to go ahead and do and work without putting stress on the back. So for individuals who are having tightness in those areas, I like to get on the other side in order to have access to the soft tissue.
And did you do that on both?
That I do know. We did that.
On both sessions?
Right.
Okay.
But she came back and I thought everything was okay.
Okay. Patient.
The patient that's on the phone?
Hello?
Yes. He was on the side with you for both sessions. Did something change between the first session and the second session from your perspective?
Been so long ago, I don't recall him massaging the areas that he massaged during the first session. He didn't do the same massage therapy on both sessions.
Was he on the same side of the table with you for both sessions?
Honestly, I don't think he was actually. The second session he was next to me. The first session he was across from me. Sorry, I'm looking back at my notes.
It would be very hard to address a shoulder girdle being in front of someone. I mean, I would say it'd be impossible.
Okay. Thank you.
So you'd have to be next to them. I would probably position myself kind of behind them at an angle to work, if not directly behind them. I'm the only one with adult experience.
Oh, what the?
Sorry.
It's all right.
We look to him for that.
Yes.
And I just switched, so.
Well, I appreciate your insight on that.
It looks like from the information that you've given us and from what I've read, you know, you're clearly the expert in hand therapy and working with the shoulder. And, you know, from what I've read and from what I've heard, it sounds like you did everything in your power to be as professional and as, you know, productive in improving whatever goal or achievement that you are looking to do. So, again, I don't have a lot of experience in the shoulder area, but it sounds like what I do know and from, you know, the school and the courses I've taken, it sounds like you were, you know, doing everything in your power to be as professional as you can and to, you know, address whatever goals that you were set out to do that day.
If you'd like, I have actually a learning manual we use for trained therapists. If you'd like me to pass it around, you can see the techniques that we do. And I just got through teaching this 2 weeks ago to cervical thoracic, so you can see where the hand placements can be. It's up to you all if you do that, or if it's gone beyond. So it's up to you.
I don't think it's necessary. I don't think I need to see that. I mean, I know that treating the lateral up kind of the tennis elbow is can be very frustrating for the patient and for the clinician. It's kind of tricky a lot of times, so it feels natural to move up the arm and look in the upper back and that region that you're describing. I feel like you were doing everything you could to get a successful outcome. I mean, even with our information from our CHT, our independent person, they stated, it's very possible they could accidentally touch a region of the breast, and I mean, that's not something that we would strive to do, but it'd be something that did occur, apologize, and I mean, it's within our professional scope not to be abusive or inappropriate, but if, that does happen, apologize and move on in our professional manner, and that's what our code of ethics state, and so on. Unfortunately, I believe this is a she said, he said situation, and I don't feel like there's any legal basis to make any disciplinary action. Those are my thoughts.
Well, if our responsibility is to look at the law, our state statutes, which would be standard of practice. Do I need to give the citation? No. Okay. Which has us asking questions about deviations from that standard of practice and causing harm.
I have one more question for patient J.S.
R.J.
R.J. Did you, after your session where you felt uncomfortable, did you call back to the center and ask to speak to the therapist supervisor?
No, I didn't. I actually... this was on a Thursday or Friday, and the following Tuesday, I had an appointment with my orthopedic surgeon, and I discussed it with both him and his physician assistant, his PA. But no, I didn't call back. I didn't feel comfortable going back there to the Arizona Hand Institute.
Okay. I do want you to know we do not take lightly your discomfort in this session that you've expressed in our deliberation.
Okay.
So, I've been trained in myofascial and pressure point side. I know that sometimes you're away from the area that you're actually working in, so I make a motion to take no action for this complaint.
Just dismissed.
I'll second the motion. All in favor?
Can you do a roll call?
Roll call.
And did you want to state why you chose that?
Did you want us to state? Or
I think we already have. Okay. Unless you had anything further to add, I refer to do.
I, Dana Hutchings, aye.
Barbara Paulson, aye.
Quentin McAllister, aye.
Donnie Hosenfeld, aye.
Charlene Marbs, aye.
Motion carries 5-0. Okay. I appreciate your time, sir, and patient. I appreciate your time as well.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
So, Mr. Sell, I'll send you a letter stating that the case was dismissed.
Again, thank you for the scheduling.
Thank you very much. All right, that brings us to item 9, and I'm going to hand it over to Karen to start with the financial report. Excuse me. Sorry.
Okay, item 9A, financial report. I requested earlier this week a copy of our cash flow report from the Central Service Bureau, and I have not received it yet. But I strongly believe that we'll be fine. We'll have a positive cash flow at the end of the fiscal year. Item 9B, administrative project status report. Item A, policies and procedures. I actually have some policies and procedures that I will present at the next meeting for the board's approval. They've been done because of the Auditor General's findings for the Athletic Training Board, so their processes are very similar, so I will update those and give them to you at the next meeting for approval. Item 9B2, application automation or e-licensing. The Department of Financial Institutions is coming on board, and they're starting to download their data or upload their data and programming to our system starting tonight. So starting tonight at 6 p.m. and every night until March 17th or 18th, the user side, the applicant side, will be down from 6 p.m. to 5 a.m. I did express concern that a lot of our applicants are using our system after they get off work, but there's no choice in the matter.
And will there be a banner message?
I'm going to put something on our website. There will also be something on the e-licensing website. But they've been known before to just put the system is down for maintenance and not put an end date or time. So I'll make sure that we have it on our website this afternoon.
But there's no way that somebody can... It looked like somebody submitted their stuff.
I'm sorry?
If it's down, there's no way it could look like somebody has submitted their application.
Well...
Correct.
Well, if the system's down, they won't be able to get in there.
The site will be dead.
And they can, you know, they'll be able to access it during the day.
As long as we don't have any confusion.
Okay, item 9B3, rule updates. I have not moved any further on that one. Item 9B4, administrative process changes to statutes. I missed the deadline to get a sponsor who could drop the bill or introduce the bill for this legislative session, so it will have to wait until the next session. I'm in the same situation with the other board that I have, so my plan is to work with one of the members of the health committee over the summer, early fall, to go through everything and make sure we get everything taken care of in the next legislative session. There are a couple of bills that are in the system right now, in the legislative system, that would affect the changes that we wanted to make. So, for instance, temporary licensure. That's one that's in there. And, you know, we were asking for the executive director to have the authority to issue licenses. Well, this would, in effect, do that because it gives the executive director authority to issue temporary licenses. So we could issue a temporary license until it would go before the board at a meeting.
So that's still active, you're saying?
That's still...
So it's still going. Change over a week, now it's going to the other...
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow, you've done your research. another one that would affect what we are introducing or the process changes that we want is licensure by reciprocity. And right now we have licensure by endorsement. They're slightly different, so that could also have an effect on our processes. Okay, and then my final one, 9C, update on rent distribution. I just received an email either last night or this morning from our budget analyst, and she said we would be able to have the rent distributed properly between athletic training and occupational therapy in the next fiscal year, so we won't be facing this issue.
Great.
Seems fair.
Mm-hmm. All right. Item 10, items for next meeting. Did we get anywhere with the veterans license thing?
That would have been one of the statute changes, I believe. Okay. I can put it on the agenda so we can...
I'd like to know. Anything else for anybody? Thanks.
Not for me.
All right. Then we shall adjourn this meeting.
Was there a call to the public?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm skipping that because there's nobody here. Call to the public. We'll adjourn this meeting at 2:49.